Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Last month, we broadcast the following show at our Christmas party. Broadcast to who? Well, broadcast to the Lexington chapter of ART. Here's a lost show from the Lone Ranger. It's called The Telltale Bullet. It came to us from Dave Parker, who was in the original show. Dave, this one's for you.
The Lone Ranger is a fictional masked former Texas Ranger who fought outlaws in the American Old West with his Native American friend Tonto. The character has been called an enduring icon of American culture. He first appeared in 1933 in a radio show conceived either by WXYZ Detroit radio station owner George W. Trendle or by Fran Stryker, the show's writer. The character was originally believed to be inspired by Texas Ranger Captain John R. Hughes, to whom the book The Lone Star Ranger by Zane Grey was dedicated in 1915.
In addition, Fran Stryker and George W. Trendle drew up the following guidelines that embody who and what the Lone Ranger is. The Lone Ranger was never seen without his mask or disguise. He was never captured or held for any length of time by lawmen, avoiding his being unmasked. He always used perfect grammar and precise speech devoid of slang. When he was forced to use guns, he never shot to kill, but to disarm his opponent as painlessly as possible. He never wins against hopeless odds. In other words, he was never seen escaping from a barrage of bullets merely by riding into the horizon. He never referred to himself as the Lone Ranger, but would confirm people's suspicion, either verbally or with one of his silver bullets, if they figured it out for themselves. The only exception was in the first episode, in which he called himself the Lone Ranger. Even though the Lone Ranger offered his aid to individuals or small groups, the ultimate objective of his story always implied that their benefit was only a byproduct of the development of the West or our country. His adversaries were usually groups whose power is such that large areas are at stake. Adversaries were never other than American to avoid criticism from minority groups. There were exceptions to this rule. He sometimes battled foreign agents, though their nation of origin was generally not named. An exception was helping the Mexican Benito Juarez against French troops of Emperor Maximilian, as occurred in the radio episodes Supplies for Juarez on 18th of September 1939, Hunted by Legionnaires on the 20th of September 1939, and Lafitte's Reinforcements on the 22nd of September in 1939. Names of unsympathetic characters were carefully chosen, never consisting of two names if it could be avoided. More often than not, a single name was selected. The Lone Ranger never drank or smoked, and saloon scenes were usually shown as cafes, with waiters and food, instead of bartenders and liquor. Criminals were never shown in enviable positions of wealth or power, and they were never successful or glamorous. He decided to use only silver bullets to remind himself that life is precious and not to be thrown away.
Cheerios, the nourishing breakfast cereal made from oats and ready to eat, presents The Lone Ranger.
Silver!
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust and a hearty hi-yo silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver, let's go, big fella! Hi-yo, Silver, away!
Through the efforts of the Lone Ranger and Tonto, two outlaws named Cash Hanna and Dirk Nasby went to prison. When they were released, the masked man was certain they would resume their careers of crime, so he and Tonto picked up their trail. After following the tracks of the outlaws' horses for several days, The Lone Ranger and Tonto were riding west along the floor of a valley on the trail leading to Bartonville, Kansas. Suddenly, the masked man signaled a halt.
Oh, oh. Oh.
Hey, stop here, Tonto. Let's dismount and study the tracks.
Plenty hoof mark here.
Yes, and they're fresh. We're not far behind those crooks.
Kimosabe, 3 horse come here from opposite direction.
You're right, Tonto. And from here, 5 horsemen headed south toward that hill.
Cash and Dirk meet 3 others.
The town of Bartonville is just beyond that hill.
You wonder why them go there. Maybe...
Tonto!
What you find on ground, Kimosabe?
A small piece of black cloth. And here's another.
Me see other pieces. 2, 3...
Tonto, I think those pieces were cut from cloth to make eye holes.
That mean crooks make masks.
And rode toward Bartonville prepared for a holdup. Come on, Tonto.
Can we go after them?
Yes. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
After reaching the top of the hill, the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode down the other side through a stand of timber. Coming out of the woods, they saw the rear of a row of buildings on the Bartonville main street some distance away. 5 horses stood at ground hitch behind the bank.
Those may be the outlaws' horses, Tonto.
At that instant, 5 men came from the bank's back door and ran to the horses. All of the men wore black cloth over their faces, and one carried a bulging sack.
The outlaws! A bank robbery! Come on, Silver!
Let them see us!
Return to fire!
They're shooting! Look! Kimosabe, you hit one in arm!
Right, Tonto, we're gaining on him! Tonto!
Me hit!
Steady, Tonto! I'll hold you in the saddle!
Crooks, escape!
We'll deal with them later! Let me look at that wound!
Me not lose consciousness!
I'm sure your wound is only skin deep. Can you ride as far as the woods?
Me ride.
Good. We'll get away from here, then dress your wound. Come on!
A short time later, the Lone Ranger found a place beside a stream where Tonto's scalp wound could be given the necessary attention. First, he cleansed the wound, applied a healing salve, then bandaged it.
There, Tonto, feel better?
He's all right now, but you use all of bandage.
We'll get more bandages and other medical supplies at the first opportunity. Do you feel able to ride?
Me all right.
Then let's head for town and the nearest doctor's office.
It was night when the masked man and Tonto drew rein in front of a 2-story house on a corner. A lamp-lit sign beside the door said Dr. Doyle, and a white placard in a first-store window bore the words, Dr. In.
Wait here, Tonto.
Dismounting, the Lone Ranger peered through the window and saw that the doctor's office was occupied by an elderly woman and a gray-haired man seated at a desk. He went inside.
Dr. Doyle?
Yes, I'm the doctor. This is my wife, Mary. She's also my nurse.
Nice to meet you, Mrs. Doyle.
Can't say the pleasure's mutual, mister. If you're here for medical help, we need to know why you're wearing that mask. The doctor and I like to know who we're treating.
His mask doesn't worry me, Mary. All I'm interested in is people's ailments. So what ails you, mister?
Nothing ails me, doctor. But I'd like to buy some bandages, gauze, and antiseptic.
We sell a complete medical kit for $3. If you got the money, you can have the kit.
I'll go get the kit for you, mister. I think we still have one out back here somewhere.
Still don't like the idea of that mask, mister. But if the doctor ain't worried, I won't be either. Seems like more and more folks out here have something to hide.
I have nothing to hide, Mrs. Doyle. If I had more time, I'd explain my mask, but right now I need that medical kit to help my friend.
Well, guess it's all right then. Folks helping their friends can't be all bad.
As Mrs. Doyle talked, the masked man glanced at the doctor's desk and saw a magnifying glass and a small object which the physician had evidently been examining. It was a silver bullet.
Well, here you are, mister. You'll find this kit quite complete.
Good. Here's the money. Doctor, isn't that a silver bullet on your desk?
Oh, I thought it was silver.
That's right, mister. Sure looked like silver to us.
Did you take it from a man's right arm?
Why? Why do you ask?
I think it came from the arm of a man who took part in a bank robbery in Bartonville today.
What makes you say that?
Yes, mister. What makes you think a thing like that?
I'm sure it's one I fired at the escaping bandits.
You? You fired the silver bullet?
Yes. People call me the Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger? Oh, of course. Oh, that explains the mask, Dole.
Yes, it sure does. Fancy having you here, masked man.
Tonto and I are on the trail of bank robbers, and I think we're getting close. Doctor, will you tell me where to find the man from whom you removed the bullet?
No, I can't. I mean, I shouldn't. It would be unethical.
He's right about that, mister. It would be unethical.
Unethical. Very well, Doctor. I'll leave you and Mrs. Doyle with your consciences. But I'll return if you want me to.
You will?
Yes. I'll look for a signal in your window tomorrow night.
A signal? What kind of signal?
Wait, I have it. That placard in the window.
Doctor in.
Yes, if it's upside down in the window, it means we're here alone and we want to talk to you.
All right, Doctor. If your sign is upside down, I'll be here. Now, good night to you both. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I certainly plan to find out.
After the Lone Ranger left, the doctor and his wife sat down at his desk, and a moment later their adopted son, a pale young man with feverish eyes, came down the stairway and into the office. He carried his right arm in a sling, and in his left hand he held a gun.
David, we thought you'd gone to bed.
Yes, I thought I heard your room door close.
No, I've been listening at the head of the stairs.
What are you doing with that pistol?
With that outlaw here, I thought it might be needed.
If you were listening, then you know he's not an outlaw. He's the Lone Ranger.
That's who he says he is, but I know better.
Better? What are you talking about, son?
I recognized him. He's the bank robber who shot me.
He is?
Yes, I told you what happened. I was standing outside the Bartonville Bank when these crooks ran out shooting. One of their bullets hit my arm, and I'm sure it was fired by the masked man who left here.
Well, David, we'd like to believe you.
You would believe me if I were your own son instead of an adopted one.
Now, don't say that, David. You know very well that we've been more than fair with you. We've indulged your whims, and we've been patient with your vices.
Vices? You mean gambling? I promised to quit gambling, and I've kept my promise.
I wonder.
Please, Dad, Mom, please don't tell that masked crook about me. His gang would kill us. Besides, you've got to consider your ethics.
Maybe we ought to give him another chance, Joel. I just don't know.
Oh, very well, David. We'll keep your secret. We'll let them worry about the bank robbery. I hope we're doing the right thing. Now, you go to bed and rest your arm.
The curtain falls on the first act of tonight's exciting adventure. The Lone Ranger will be right back after this important message from Cheerios, the nourishing breakfast cereal made from oats and ready to eat.
Has this scene ever happened at your Saturday morning breakfast table?
Oh, Mom, that's not fair. You said I could go out and play right after breakfast.
I said you could go out and play after you finished your breakfast, Jimmy. And so far, you haven't touched your cereal.
But I don't like that gritty stuff you bought. It's hard to chew and it hurts my mouth.
Well, I can't go around buying every cereal on the grocery shelf, Jimmy. Money doesn't grow on trees in this family. I thought you'd know that by now.
If you've ever had a problem like that at your house, Mom, just listen to this. Cheerios, the nourishing cereal made from oats, is ready to eat by everyone in your family, especially by active young boys like Jimmy. You see, Cheerios are toasted, whole-grain oats, deliciously blended into those fun-to-eat little letter O's. And best of all, they're not only good, but they're so good for you. That's because nutrition experts know that whole-grain oats supply lots of vitamins. So, you don't have to worry about costly supplements anymore. Cheerios does it all. As Jimmy's mom found out.
Wow, Mom, Cheerios are really neat. They're fun to eat and they taste so good. Can I have another bowl, please?
Aren't you afraid you'll be too late to play, Jimmy?
Mom, with a breakfast cereal like Cheerios, just plain eating's play enough for me. So how about that extra bowl?
Oh, Jimmy.
Problem noted. Problem solved. So, join thousands of other moms like Jimmy's, and you too can be a breakfast heroine every morning of the week. Remember, Cheerios, the delicious breakfast cereal made from oats and ready to eat. Try them. You'll love them.
Now to continue. After his talk with his mother and father, David Doyle didn't go to bed as he pretended. Instead, he waited until the doctor turned out the lights, then he sneaked outside to his saddled horse and rode off. In his haste, he didn't notice the Lone Ranger and Tonto, who were watching from the trees. About an hour later, he was one of five men seated at a table in a cabin in the nearby hills. With him sat the ex-convicts Cash Hanna and Dirk Nasby, and the Keynes brothers, Blackie and Scar, who operated a gambling place in town. Though savage dogs stood guard outside, the faces of the men showed fear as Dave told of the Lone Ranger's visit to the doctor's home. When Dave got through, Cash Hanna said,
"Boys, we're going to have to get rid of the Lone Ranger, or he'll get us. Right, Dirk?"
"Yeah, that's right, Cash. He and the engine almost caught us in Bartonville. Yeah, the Lone Ranger's got to die. Dave, you should have plugged him when he was in your house."
"I couldn't shoot straight with my left hand."
"Excuse me.
Boys, I got me an idea. I know how we can get the Lone Ranger. Dave, didn't you tell us Doc would upend his window sign if he wanted the Lone Ranger to call tomorrow night?"
"Yes, but Dad promised me he wouldn't do it."
"Yeah, listen. Can you figure a way to send the old Doc and your mom out of town on some kind of fake emergency call or something?"
"I don't know. I guess so. But it'll have to be something serious so Mom would have to go along as his nurse."
"Well, good. Late tomorrow afternoon, you send him on a ranch call that'll keep him away for a few hours. We'll put his card in the window upside down."
"Yeah, that's a good idea, Cash. The Lone Ranger will see the card and go into the house, and we'll be there to shoot him."
"No, no, we can't do that."
"Why not?"
"What about Tonto?"
"If he's dead, we'll shoot him too."
But if the Lone Ranger's killed in the house, I'll get the blame."
"Blame? Blame for what? Who knows? He's the Lone Ranger. Stick to your story that he's one of the bank robbers. Say he come to kill you so you couldn't identify him."
"Yeah, say you had to shoot him in self-defense."
"Say you shot him with your left hand. You'll be a hero around town."
"No,
Now what's the matter?"
I don't like that idea."
"You're yellow."
"I went through my part of the holdup, and I didn't get a cent out of it."
"You got plenty out of it. Scoring out two up your IOUs at the gambling place."
"That's the only reason I went with you on the bank job. But now you want me to get mixed up in murder. I was a fool to gamble in the first place."
"Yeah, well, it's too late to think that now."
"You heard the plans."
"Yes, but I won't go along
with..." "Why, you lily liver milksop, take that!
Ah!
Here's some more!"
"Stop! Stop slapping my face!"
"That's just the beginning, unless you stick with us."
"Why, you murderer!"
"How about it, Doyle? You gonna be with us, or you need some more persuading?"
"No. No, I'll stick. Just don't hit me again."
"Now you're being smart. But don't forget our plan."
"That's right, because we'll be watching for your folks to leave town tomorrow afternoon."
"But if anything goes wrong, you'll get another slug. And this time it won't be silver, and it'll be in your head instead of your arm."
"I know."
"Now go on home. We'll see you tomorrow."
Meanwhile, the Lone Ranger and Tonto had followed David to the hideout in the hills. Hearing the dogs when he entered the cabin, they withdrew to a point where they could watch the building from behind some brushwood bordering the moonlight trail. Presently, they saw the cabin door swing open, and a moment later, the man with his arm in a sling was riding toward them.
"Rein in! You're covered!" "Get your good arm up."
"The masked man! Don't shoot me!"
"Sit still on the saddle and keep your voice down."
I'm not armed. Why did you stop me?"
We have a lot to talk about, but not here.
Where are you taking me?
Deeper into the hills. Lead his horse, Tonto. I'll ride behind him. Now, let's go.
After about a mile of riding, the Lone Ranger and Tonto halted with their frightened captive in a moonlit, flooded valley.
What are you going to do with me?
That depends on how truthfully you answer questions. What's your name?
I'm David Doyle.
The doctor's son?
I'm an adopted son. He adopted me when I was a baby.
Did he take a silver bullet out of your arm?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Do you know who I am?
Yes. You're the Lone Ranger. I heard you talking to Dad.
Then you know I'm the man who shot you, and I know you're one of the men who robbed the Bartonville Bank.
Why you rob bank?
I wish to heaven I had never done it. But now I'm in deeper than ever. Those crooks will kill me unless I...
Unless you what?
Unless I help them murder you. What can I do? Is there any way out?
Dave, you better pull yourself together and tell us everything you know.
Dave was glad to unload his burden of guilt. He told about the robbery and the way he'd lied to his foster father. Then he revealed the outlaw's plan to murder the Lone Ranger. When he finished, he sighed with relief and said...
Now you know everything.
Dave, you've been weak, but you might be able to redeem yourself.
I'll do anything you say.
Would you fight on my side?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Then we'll make some plans of our own. Tell me this. Is there a hayloft in your stable where Tonto and I might hide?
Yes. And there's a shed nearby for your horses.
Good. We'll go there tonight.
What do you want me to do?
Return home and go to bed. Tomorrow, do just as you agreed. After that, Tonto and I'll handle the situation.
Late the following afternoon, when Dr. Doyle returned from several calls in town and halted his horse and buggy, he saw Dave waiting at the store of the stable.
Hi there, Dave.
Hello, Dad. I got a message from Jeb Pierce. Sounds like they had a bad accident out at his place. Something fell on two or three of his ranch hands and really smashed them up.
Oh, tarnation, sounds bad, all right. Jeb wouldn't ask me to go all the way to his ranch for anything trivial. Expect I might need your mother's help, she being a nurse and all. Go get her, Dave, while I get this buggy turned around.
You'll probably be gone about 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, at least that. Now go get your mother. We've got to move fast.
After his parents had left, Dave went to the stable and went inside. As he closed the door, he called to the Lone Ranger and Tonto, who had been in the loft since the previous night.
They're gone. My folks have gone.
Good. Then we'll meet you in the office, Dave.
Without waiting for the masked man and Indian, Dave hurried through a door that opened from the stable directly into the doctor's office.
Are we alone in the house, Dave?
Yes.
Then let's prepare for the showdown.
At that moment, Cash, Dirk, and the Keynes brothers, watching from the concealment of brushwood beyond the edge of town, saw the doctor and his wife driving past.
There goes the doc and his wife on their wild goose chase.
Yeah, like that sissy doll kid did his job. Now just as soon as it's dark, we'll go to the house.
And wait for the Lone Ranger.
In the doctor's office, the Lone Ranger observed three doors in a sidewall. He said,
I know that door leads to the stable. What about the others?
This one opens into a small closet, and the stairs to the second floor are behind this one.
Tonto, you wait in the closet. I'll wait on the stairs. Leave the doors open about an inch.
Me savvy.
Dave, you'd better sit at the desk until the crooks arrive. And don't try to double-cross us.
When darkness gathered, Dave lighted a lamp, and a short time later, the front door was opened cautiously. Cash Hanna peered into the office with a gun in his hand.
Is the coast cleared, Pennywaist?
Doesn't it look that way?
Seeing no one in the room but Dave, the crooks relaxed and lowered their heavy guns.
The setup looked all right to me.
Yeah, let's put that sign in the window so the Lone Ranger will walk into the trap.
Don't bother. Drop your guns.
He's here.
Me got you covered.
The engine. Dave, you dirty double cross. I'll kill you. My arm.
Anyone else want gunplay?
Don't shoot. My hands are up.
And mine, don't shoot us. Hold your fire.
My arm's busted.
Now you know how a silver bullet hits.
We'll get you for this double cross, Dave, if it's the last thing we do.
Where you're going, you'll not get anyone. Stand against that wall, all of you. Tonto, pick up their guns.
Me get them.
Meanwhile, Dr. and Mrs. Doyle had returned unexpectedly, and while in the stable heard the shots. As the outlaws sullenly backed against the wall, the doctor, holding a heavy gun, rushed through the door.
What's going on here?
The amazed doctor halted in front of Cash.
Get out of my line of fire!
Get back, Dad!
I've got him!
Cash sprang forward, wrested the gun from the doctor's grasp, then circled his throat with his left hand.
The doctor, my shield! One move and I'll break his back with a bullet!
Don't shoot the doctor!
Shoot at me and you'll kill the doc!
Good work, Cash.
Now, Lone Ranger, you and the engine, drop your guns!
Don't do it! Don't do it! I'm not afraid to die. My life is less important than the capture of these crooks.
Let's not drop those guns!
While the four crooks watched and waited for the masked man to obey Cash's order, Dave drew a hidden gun from his sling and fired. Cash staggered back from the doctor, gasped, and fell to the floor.
That does it.
David, you fired that shot.
Yes, Dad. I lied to you. The masked man is really the Lone Ranger.
Stand back, Doctor. I'll cover these crooks while Tonto ties them. Dave, it's time to bring in the sheriff.
Shall I go get him?
Yes, and while you're gone, I have a few things to tell your father and mother.
When Dave was gone, the ranger explained to the doctor and his wife about their son's role in the bank robbery and the capture of the crooks. Then later, when Dave returned with the sheriff, he told his mom and dad how sorry he was.
Dad, Mom, when I get out of prison, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to make you proud of me.
That makes us real happy, son.
It sure does, Dave. Seems like you learned an important lesson from the Lone Ranger and Tonto.
Dave, I've seen how the law works, and I've got a feeling that your help in capturing those crooks will go a long way to making your sentence a light one.
Kimosabe, horse is ready.
Tonto's waiting. I'll be expecting big things from you, Dave.
I won't let you down. Nor you, Mom and Dad. I'll make good for you and for the Lone Ranger.
Hi-yo, Silver! Away!
You've been listening to an American Radio Theater recreation of a broadcast of The Lone Ranger, The Telltale Bullet. This episode was originally broadcast on September 30th, 1953. In our cast, you heard Ken Leese as The Lone Ranger, Greg Porter as Tonto, Moki O'Reilly as Cash Hanna, Kim Turner as Dirk Nasby, Dan Schindler as Dr. Doyle, Marge Diskin as Mrs. Doyle, Harry Thiel as Dave Doyle, Karen Leese as Scar, Moki O'Reilly as Blackie. In the commercials, you heard Karen Leese as the mom, Mary Moore Campagna as the kid, and Moki O'Reilly as the announcer. Sound effects provided by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Sound engineering by Joy Jackson. I'm your announcer, Dave Leese. This has been a production of ART, American Radio Theater.
We'll get back to the show in just a minute.
But first, a few words from ART.
Hi, I'm Dan Schindler.
And I'm Ken Leese.
ART's ensemble of actors breathes new life into classic stories from the days of old-time radio, as well as bringing new audio dramas to full imagination.
There are lots of great stories out there just waiting for the nod of recognition.
Adventure.
Romance.
Westerns.
Mysteries.
Comedies.
Historical stories based on real life.
Maybe even you have a story.
Right now, we're in the process of breathing new life into Zorro.
Please have a look at our website for more information, AmericanRadioTheater.org.
And now, back to treasures old and new from ART.
Let's listen to some music from the 1930s. These were all on the radio at various times.
The Works Progress Administration presents a program by the Federal Music Project under the direction of Dr. Nikolai Sokolov. We present the New York State Symphonic Band, directed by Giuseppe Creatore. Their first number will be a fantasy on Southern airs, way down south. You will have little difficulty in recognizing the many popular songs which comprise this fantasy. It opens with a well-known Dixie, followed by Swanee River, which in turn merges into the old favorite, Carry Me Back to Old Virginny. The fantasy is Mr. Creatore's own arrangement of these old Southern melodies.
Thank you.
More than 3 million men and women have left the relief roles and now earn their living on WPA jobs. All the work they are doing was proposed by officials of their own communities. During the last 3 years, library service has been maintained at higher than normal standards by emergency workers who have repaired and enlarged library buildings, salvaged millions of books, and supplemented library staffs. This work has saved local taxpayers much money. Next, we hear a Spanish dance, Moraima, by Espinosa. It is hard to resist the alluring rhythms of this Spanish dance as it is played in a special arrangement for band by Mr. Creatore. Moraima by Espinosa. Thank you. This program, presented by the Federal Music Project of the Works Progress Administration, has been performed by musicians taken off relief rolls and put to work by WPA to maintain their musical skill, as well as to provide education and entertainment for the general public. Visit your own WPA project. The Works Progress Administration presents a program by the Federal Music Project, which is under the direction of Dr. Nikolai Sokolov. Today we are to hear the Brooklyn Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Franco Autori, in a program of old operatic favorites. The orchestra plays for its first number, the Intermezzo, from Cavalleria Rusticana by Mascagni. Cavalleria Rusticana, one of the most popular of the present-day operas, is Mascagni's chief work. The opera owes much of its success to its many melodic airs, of which the Intermezzo, which we are about to hear, is one of the most popular. The Brooklyn Symphony Orchestra. Brooklyn Symphony Orchestra continues its program with the prelude to the fourth act of La Traviata by Verdi. La Traviata is based on Dumas' famous play, Camille. Like all of Verdi's dramatic works, it is full of beauty and melody. It is one of the most popular productions in current operatic repertory. The Brooklyn Symphony Orchestra playing the prelude to the fourth act of La Traviata. More than 3 million men and women have left the relief roles and now earn their living on WPA jobs. All of the work they are doing was proposed by officials of their own communities. The first complete tourist guide of America is being prepared by unemployed writers working for WPA. It is called the American Guide. In future years, every traveler will know the history of the country through which he is traveling and what the points of interest are. The Brooklyn Symphony Orchestra, under the baton of Franco Autori, closes its program with a march from the opera Tannhäuser by Richard Wagner.
Thank you.
Presented by the Federal Music Project of the Works Progress Administration, has been performed by musicians taken off relief rolls and put to work by WPA to maintain their musical skill as well as to provide education and entertainment for the general public. May we suggest that you visit your local WPA projects.
Gee, that's all I've got time for today. Please stop by our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, and listen to some of our podcasts. We put up a new show every month. Also, stop by the Old Time Radio chat room at RadioOutOfThePast.org. Every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific and every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific, a group of us gather to talk and play old-time radio shows. Hey, see you there!